Hi, and welcome to another podcast from SearchManufacturingERP.com. I'm David Essex, the editor of the site. Many manufacturers use lean initiatives to improve production efficiency and Six Sigma to eliminate product defects. But how do you combine the two and apply them to an existing quality control process? What are the best ways to use Lean Six Sigma to analyze and redesign quality control workflows and automate them for greater precision and efficiency? To find out, we'll hear from Dr. Michael Greaves, a professor at the University of Iowa and an expert on product lifecycle management. Greaves has more than 35 years of technical and executive experience in a range of industries. He's written numerous papers on PLM and is the author of the book, Product Lifecycle Management, Driving the Next Generation of Lean Thinking. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us today. Before we get into the specific technologies, from a purely process-oriented point of view, can you explain what the link is between Lean, Six Sigma, and quality control processes?
Sure, Dave. In fact, it's a pretty good question because a lot of times these are sort of viewed as a siloed approach. But before I answer your question, let me sort of make the point that from a product lifecycle management perspective, we view quality control as, you know, does the product perform for the user in actual use? And so manufacturing is only one part of this. And what we're really sort of talking about here is specification control. You know, can we meet the specifications as it's designed? But in spite of that kind of issue, I'll use quality control as it's used, you know, in the manufacturing sense. And I think you kind of have to pull back and say, you know, what is sort of the intent of my manufacturing? And that is, I'd like to have each instance of the product meet the specifications of that product each and every time. And so when I look at what I'm getting out of my manufacturing process, chances are I am not getting that kind of level of specification, meeting those specifications, or what we'll call quality control. And so therefore, I want to do what's called Six Sigma, which is reduce, you know, the number of defects, you know, to parts per million. And so what I'm looking to do is, you know, the classic DMEAC, define, measure, analyze, improve, and control, and get to the point where these products, instances of these products are, you know, being produced at the level of quality control that I need for Six Sigma. Now, having done that, the way that I got to this quality may or may not have been lean, i.e., I might be throwing a lot more resources at the problem than I really would need to do if I could step back and look at all possible ways that I could make this product and say, well, gee, I can get this level of quality with this amount of minimal resources. So the next thing I want to do after I get the quality that I need, because quite frankly, that's kind of my focus, is now look at leaning out that process by taking out those elements of what I'm doing that don't add value to the quality control. So these things are all related from that perspective, in that first I want to be able to produce the quality product, you know, in a Six Sigma fashion, and then ideally I'd like to go lean that process out so I use the minimal amount of resources in order to be able to get there.
Lean techniques are mostly about removing waste and inefficiency from the production process, while Six Sigma, as you've said, is geared towards quality control. How about applying Lean to the Six Sigma processes? Are there ways that Lean can improve the efficiency of a manufacturer's quality control process?
Again, as I had mentioned in my first answer, these are pretty intertwined. And quite frankly, if I'm doing Lean processes and simply leaning out my manufacturing processes and not focusing on quality, I can wind up by, in essence, getting too lean, i.e., introducing defects into the manufacturing process. So I got to be real careful when I look at using lean if I am not considering the Six Sigma aspect. So as I mentioned before, these things have to be done in tandem. I basically have to keep my eye on the quality indicators, the Six Sigma, And then I've got to basically lean my processes out around that. If I start leaning, you know, if I just simply go in and say, you know, I'm going to basically provide lean, I'm going to look at taking, I'm going to have tack time, and I'm going to take resources out of it and move things around, I can negatively affect quality in that fashion. And, you know, that would not be good. And so I get a little concerned when people say, you know, we've got a lean group and we've got a Six Sigma group, and they're both working out there on the factory floor to improve our manufacturing processes. And my response to that is, if those things aren't intertwined, you may wind up with very efficient scrap. So the key here is to basically make sure that I am producing each instance of the product in a Six Sigma fashion, i.e. I have minimal defects, and then lean out around that. And so those things need to be really carefully intertwined and worked in tandem, as opposed to being different initiatives.
Speaking of keeping that well integrated, you've written extensively about the concept of digital manufacturing, which, as I understand it, can be achieved by integrating the product-centric information that you get from the product lifecycle management process more closely with the manufacturing execution system. Can you explain your vision for that, both from a process and a technology point of view?
The premise behind the work that I've done in product lifecycle management is I'd really always like to trade off atoms for bits, because atoms are very expensive to move around, while bits are inexpensive, and quite frankly, the direction of those two expenses are going in different directions. Costs always increase for atom-based activities, and they continue to decrease thanks to Moore's Law for bit-based activities. So what we'd like to do is to be able to simulate the manufacturing activities such that we basically look at, how do I make the product? I create my bill of process, which is the recipe for the manufacturing process. I simulate the various activities, and I basically be able to move things around in simulation until I reduce the amount of resources while producing the product that I want. So I even say that Toyota Production Systems, which is, you know, the vaunted lean activities, they're producing cars very inefficiently as they work with Kaizen on the factory floor to improve their processes. Because quite frankly, you know, every process that they improve using physical activity, i.e. moving things around, moving equipment around, changing the amount of steps that people walk, when they've been doing that physically, they've been producing cars less efficiently than if they had done that in simulation. Now, I think the reality is Toyota does a fairly good job on the simulation side, and so while they sort of claim that this is all done, you know, on the factory floor, they basically have worked a lot of this down in simulation, as most companies who are looking for doing things efficiently are doing. One concrete example is there was a major automotive company that had significant amount of robots that they had planned for in terms of doing it. I mean, I think the number was around 40. And through simulation, reduced it to under a handful. Well, the cost of basically doing that in simulation was insignificant. In fact, the payback on that project was literally in weeks for a multi-million dollar project, because the cost of automation robots, as you might imagine, David, are fairly expensive. And so this idea of trading, you know, atoms for bits is this idea of using digital simulation to basically be able to get as lean as you possibly can without having to actually go onto the physical plant floor. Now, there is some point where the simulations don't work quite as well as we would like them to do, or understand the physics well enough, but you can ride that cost curve down fairly far today, such that you can have significant improvements in designing the assembly line and processes in order to be able to reduce costs pretty dramatically without having to actually do this on the plant floor.
So what's the role of the ERP system in all of this?
Enterprise resource planning systems, you know, are sort of these order-to-cash systems that take in order one end, you know, and when the transaction is completed when the customer pays his bill. You get down to the factory floor, and ERP systems in their initial state probably weren't well suited to controlling the activities on the factory floor because they didn't have that kind of depth. Pretty much all the ERP companies have either manufacturing execution system modules, MES modules, or I think there's a new term called MOM, manufacturing operations modules, that basically control the actual activities on the factory floor. The key point here is that I got to know exactly what's happening on the manufacturing floor if I'm going to control my costs. One of the main premises of Six Sigma is to basically measure the activities that I'm doing. Well, I can't measure those activities unless I'm getting that data. And we're seeing certainly increase in sort of three areas of activity down on the factory floor. One is equipment to measure things like coordinate measuring machines, white light scanners, various devices to measure gap and fit, and to be able to basically then feed that information back into the system such that I may be able to get a composite view of what that product should look like, and I'm able to control not only the individual stations themselves, but control, say, for example, the entire vehicle when I'm talking about a car, because I know what the fit and finish was before I got to the end of the line. One of the interesting sort of pieces here is a lot of auto companies have people stationed with rubber mallets at the end of the line to get fit and finish. And the problem with people with rubber mallets is they want to pound on something, which sometimes, in fact, often induces more problems into the product than they would like. Well, if I can measure those fit and finishes earlier on, I don't need to have people standing around with rubber mallets to adjust them when I get the car to the end of the line, and that obviously is a better approach. Where ERP comes in, or ERP and management execution systems and even product lifecycle management systems, is to have that information available about how that product is being manufactured and being able to pull it together so I know exactly what the parts and pieces look like, you know, as the product progresses from, you know, initial raw material to finished form.
I know there's software specifically for managing a Lean or a Six Sigma project, but manufacturers have told us that they don't use those much. What are some of the best ways to embed Lean and Six Sigma methodologies and measurements into the digital manufacturing process? Do some of the PLM tools have Lean tools built right into them?
The sort of issue is, do I get the quality, the specification management, you know, out of the product as I go along? And so the key thing is, can I simulate my manufacturing processes with enough fidelity such that I can rely on them to say, look, when I move this out onto the factory floor, I'm going to get this product with these tolerances. And so the thing that digital manufacturing gives you is the ability to experiment with not simply one process, but with a bunch of processes that basically allow me to take a look at them and say, out of these five processes I'm simulating, this one gives me the best reliability and repeatability over these other processes, and by the way, uses the least amount of resources, which ideally is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Lean. And so simulation, I can basically not only look at the usual suspects, I can look at maybe even unusual suspects, because it doesn't cost me much to run a digital simulation. While it may be and is very expensive to move equipment around on the factory floor or even build equipment and then decide, gee, that's not quite right, I need something else.
You have a new book called Virtually Perfect, Driving Innovative and Lean Products Through Product Lifecycle Management. And as I understand it, it's partly about how a good PLM system can spread the benefits of Lean beyond the production process and take it out to the supply chain, product design, and the like. What is some of your key advice from the book?
My first book was Product Lifecycle Management, Driving the Next Generation of Lean. And the idea behind that was that I looked at it as kind of one organization. But the reality of it is, a lot of times there are more people outside your organization that touch your product than who are inside your organization. Again, you know, one of the premises are, you know, I want to trade off bits for atoms where I possibly can in order to be able to use information to reduce the amount of resources that I need to expend. No organization I know of that says, look, I've got more budget to do things this year than I did last year, or I can charge more for my product. And so, you know, how do we reduce expenses? Well, we basically have better information about the product as we're designing it, as we're manufacturing it in simulation, and then as our suppliers are sending this information to us so we can verify that, yeah, the product is going to show up at our loading dock, is the product that we desire, I think is going to be key for this next generation of production. So I have sort of expanded the nomenclature to say supply chains are great for moving around physical products, but we need to be thinking about supply nets, which will move around these virtual products so that I can have visibility into them long before I have to deal with the physical product itself.
Well, Michael, thanks very much for your time today.
Not a problem.